Welcome to Her Comeback, Transforming Your Life After 50. I'm your host, Michelle Thompson. If you've ever whispered to yourself, there has to be more than this, you are in the right place. This show is for women over 50 who have hit their breaking point and are finally ready to stop going at it alone. You've tried the self-help books, the vision boards, the positive thinking, but you're still stuck. And here's what I know. You're not broken. You just need the right support, and that's exactly what you're going to find here. Each week, I'll sit down with incredible women who have transformed their lives. You'll hear their real stories, the messy middle, the breakthrough moments, the practical steps that they took to create the lives that they love, because your lowest moment, it can be your launching pad. So if you're done settling and ready for your comeback, stay with me. Let's discover how other women have made it happen and how you can too. Are you ready? This is Her Comeback. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have as our guest today, Christina Nylese. Christina, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. This is a pleasure.
If you would, let's get started by just telling our audience a little bit more about yourself.
I am a holistic health coach and mindfulness teacher, and 14 years sober. So I've done a lot of work in the recovery space. I live in Naples, Florida, but did not grow up here. I actually grew up in New Jersey and since have lived, I went to graduate school in Boston. So I lived there for a few years and then I moved out to Cleveland for a guy and worked there for 5 years. Then I landed here and it was a temporary stop, but I haven't left. So I've been here since 2004. I just published a best-selling book, My Self-Love, Self-Healing. And so right now in my life, I'm focusing on speaking on stages and writing more books.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I understand with some of the work you've done, you spent quite a bit of time talking about finding innate happiness. When did you realize that happiness wasn't something you had to chase, but it was really already inside you?
When I wrote the book. Actually, so the book takes the reader on a journey from when I was really young. And in writing the book, I realized what I had found at these different pivotal points of my life that I didn't realize at the time. But when I was writing about it, it was like, wow, we really do find happiness within it. It lives in our heart and our soul, not in our you know, external environment. And I really did. I was, after reading the manuscript, I was like, I really spent my whole life just looking for this happiness and looking for this sense of normalcy and inner peace. But I was looking for it outside of myself the entire time. And so because I was looking for that way to self-soothe and to feel a certain way, I ended up sabotaging myself in so many ways, my well-being, my mental state, you know, first starting with an eating disorder when I was a teenager and then morphing into alcoholism when I, like, hardcore alcoholism when I was in my 30s. And so the moment that, when I write about it, the moment that I realized that the happiness was within me was, interestingly enough, when I was living at a homeless shelter.
Wow.
And I love this story because it really is so powerful, because most people would think that would be the last place or the least circumstances where you would find happiness. But I had been in so much pain leading up to that point. When I went to the homeless shelter, this was where I had my surrender to my drinking. And this is where I decided to change my life. And this was after 10 years of very destructive drinking. I lost everything that I had worked for, everything that I had loved so much. And I ended up with nothing and I had no place to go. And so I had my bike, I did have that. And so I found this inner peace, this presence, that this sober pause moment is what I love to call it. It's a mindfulness moment. I found this presence while I was riding my bike. My bike is such an important part to my story because this is where I found this powerful tool where, for the first time, I noticed and was able to appreciate my surroundings and just my life and being alive and feeling this vibrancy. And it was where I learned gratitude. Like, I honestly don't know. Before that, I was so selfish in my behaviors that I don't know if I ever really was grateful for anything. And so, with having nothing, I was the happiest I had been in years. And this was the first time I realized, I was like, I am so happy right now. I can pretty much do anything I want with my life because I don't have anything. And I can't describe the feeling. It was almost like this physical sensation that lives within you. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is what I've been searching for all of these years. And it's not even from anything that I have because I don't have anything.
Wow, what an incredible story. So for listeners out there that believe happiness depends on your circumstances, if I get that right job, if I get that right guy, if I get that right lifestyle, how do you make that shift?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, because you can't just, tell somebody and, talk them into believing that this is true. It really takes doing the inner work. It really takes, I use mindfulness. Mindfulness is at the heart of all of my work. And it's where I learned to breathe. It was where I learned to slow down. It was where I learned to pause, where I learned to make better decisions in my life, where I learned to respond to people instead of react to people. And so with this daily practice, it first started with more of a formal practice and meditation. But as I practiced it daily and did the reps, you just slowly start to bring that mindfulness and that awareness and that slowing down into your daily life, like just into your way of, it becomes a way of being instead of like a thing that you're doing. And so the shift is subtle. It's not like I'm going to tell somebody to practice mindfulness meditation and you're going to see a shift like right then and there. It's something that you need to practice over time, but this is the inner work. This is where I cultivate awareness. And I don't know how else you would cultivate awareness without being mindful. So the mindfulness to me is extremely important. And I just, that's where I start with everybody. It's where mindset shifts happen. You can shift your inner belief system, your limiting beliefs into beliefs that are going to serve you in a better way, is to just get present with yourself. I mean, I really just don't know how else someone would do it.
So for someone, say they haven't really practiced mindfulness, that they're just completely new in this space, what would be that simple step or few steps that could get them started?
Yeah, so literally it takes a minute. All they have to do is, and sometimes they can set a reminder for themselves, whoever is going to work for them. They could put a little string on their finger. They can tell Alexa to remind them. They can set an alarm on their phone if they really want to start getting into this and making it into a habit. They can start with a minute. Just sit down and start breathing. Just breathe.
Okay.
Take deep breaths. I love the four box breath where you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, and hold for 4 seconds. Another practice that I love to do, which is first thing in the morning, which anybody can do, it takes like 7 minutes. You can make it 10 minutes or whatever, but 5 to 7 minutes before you even look at your phone, turn on the TV, do any of that kind of stuff where there's going to be stimulus. Get up out of bed, get a drink of water, splash some water on your face, and then just find a quiet place to sit. Take a few deep breaths and then get into your heart center. Like literally put your hand over your heart, close your eyes, and just start to feel into your heart and think of something that you're grateful for. And notice if you feel a physical sensation. If you start to feel a physical sensation here, then you'll know that you're in that energy of gratitude. You can't be in an energy of gratitude and in an energy of stress response or resentment or anger at the same time. So you want to get into that energy of gratitude. And then once you're in that energy, then you start to just set a timer on your phone. I set a timer on my phone for this. You just start to visualize that version of yourself that you want to step into. And you just do this visualization of yourself already there.
Okay.
And that's a great, easy practice. And it's fun. Like, who doesn't like to fantasize? Like, I've been
Right.
fantasizing since I was a little kid, And I didn't
Yes.
realize why, when I used to fantasize about, if I had a crush on a boy on vacation, I would like go to bed at night and think about, meeting the guy, kissing the guy. And for some reason, I would always end up meeting that guy on my vacation. How is this that I wish for these things and they keep coming true? It's just because I got into it as if it was already true.
The whole thing of manifesting and the mindfulness to you have kind of come hand in hand with.
Yeah, I mean, and The manifesting word's so overused. I mean, it's like for me, it's more about if you're having a hard time stepping into a version of yourself that you want to be, just visualize yourself as already there.
Okay.
Just close your eyes. It takes a couple minutes and just visual something that you want. If you want to get that job, if you're looking for a new job, just sit down for 5 minutes and imagine yourself already working the job. This has worked for me for so many years that when I wanted something, I would just start acting the part. I
The
really would just
acting as
start acting
if.
the part. I did this at the homeless
Yes.
shelter. I did this at the homeless shelter. I had this day on my bike where I had my spiritual awakening. I woke up. And this was when I took a day, it was at the homeless shelter, and I took my bike out and I spent the whole, it was a Sunday, it was beautiful out. And I went up to the beach and I sat on the beach and I was like, this feels so good and normal. And I feel like I'm just like one of like everybody else here. Like I'm not this alcoholic living in a homeless shelter. I'm just another person on the beach. And I just felt so grateful. And then I continued to ride my bike. And as I continued to ride and have these thoughts, I started to envision myself doing all different kinds of things. I was like getting really excited at the idea of like, well, I could do this and I could be this and I could do that. And so by the time I got back to the shelter, I had to get ready for my job there. They gave everybody a chore and mine was to serve dinner. So instead of wearing the schleppy clothes I was wearing all weekend, like literally, like I'm in a homeless shelter, so I'm just gonna wear, who cares what I look like, right? I'm just gonna look like another homeless person. I took a shower. I put makeup on. I did my hair and I put something nice on and I walked into the kitchen and the staff was just like, Christina, is that you? Oh my gosh, you're actually really pretty. I was like, thanks. And I showed up that way every single day. I showed up in that kitchen, showered, like just stepping into that version of myself that I wanted to be, because that life, that alcoholic life, that girl, I shut the door on it. I'm like, that's no longer. I am now her over here.
Right. So you have also in your work spent some time looking at turning self-sabotage into your superpower. And you teach that self-sabotage isn't just a habit, it's actually a signal. So how did you learn about this in your own patterns and change this into opportunities for yourself?
I really think that I turned my alcoholism into a superpower because now I'm helping others. I had to get sober first, but like an example of that was I got sober. I realized one of the big things in the rooms of recovery is being of service. That was new for me because I was selfish. I'm like serving others. Like, what do you mean? Just simple things like making coffee at a meeting or to going to speak and tell your story at the different rehabs. I chose to go into the county jail for 5 years, and I went in by myself. Like initially, I went in with other people, but eventually, I went in by myself. And old Christina would have been really scared to do that, to go in and like have like a whole classroom of like inmates. I mean, I've been to jail, so I was one of the things that I wanted to do. I was like, if I ever get sober, I'm coming back here and telling my story, and I'm going to help these people because there were a lot of addicts, alcoholics in there. And I was grateful for the opportunity to be able to share my story with them and to the transformation that I even saw in them when I showed up month after month to just share and to give them the opportunity to share was they were probably helping me more than I was helping them. That was a superpower to me. That was like, wow, what a gift. That's just an example of, I really think that number one, you have to get to the other side of your sabotage. You have to quit the habit. You have to find a healthier habit to replace it with. And that takes work. And I would say work with a therapist, work with a coach, however you need to do it. But once you're given that gift of being free from that sabotage, how can you pay it forward? And how can you teach other people how to do what you did and have the transformation that you did as well?
Are there any other suggestions you would have for someone trying to create a space where, okay, I'm going to stop the pattern of the self-sabotage? Is there something that they could do when they catch themselves in that space?
In the space where they feel like they're going to impulsively reach for the coping mechanism.
Yes,
Honestly,
exactly.
like too many people try to go through this journey by themselves. So isolation is a big one with self-sabotage. So I would definitely recommend, if that's their pattern, if they're finding it really hard to keep themselves from that sabotaging behavior, is to reach out to somebody, even if it's just a friend, or getting out of the house and getting yourself busy and being proactive and looking for communities to join and fellowship communities to join. It just depends on what the sabotaging behavior is, but in sabotage, the isolation is really familiar and comfortable. And a lot of times, the sabotage is something that we want to keep secret. We're afraid to make ourselves vulnerable. But vulnerability is the key to breakthroughs. I mean, vulnerability is where we start to garner our strength. And I found that in the rooms of AA. That's where I got sober. I was the first place where I made myself vulnerable. I tried to do it on my own, and I just kept sabotaging over and over again. I would have these 10, like the last year and a half of my drinking, it was horrible. I mean, I had the DTs. I had like, and no, I was living with my mom at the time, and she didn't know how dangerous DTs were. But it was so like sheltered and hidden. And I refused to go to meetings. I knew that the meetings were where I needed to go. AA was where I needed to go, but I refused to do it until it was just like, this is the only answer right now. And so trying to work through if the sabotage is really destroying your life in certain ways, then I would just say, like, get into connection somehow. Like, just take the first step.
Okay, very good. That's great. You're like myself, you're in a new chapter in our 50s. So as you look into this chapter, what does it look like for you? You have new goals and dreams, and what are the things that you are transforming in your life today?
So I am focused on staying in connection because for 2 years I have been writing a book and doing online coaching, and I'm like scratching at the walls. I don't think this is how I want to live. I'm single. I live by my, I love being single. I've never been married, 53 years old, cat mom, no kids. So I need connection, and I need women in my life. And I know, like, you and I share in a group here in Naples, and that's where I met you. And it's just every time I put myself out there, this is something I never would have done in the past. Like, I was always so afraid of people, or like, I was convinced that I was like afraid of people, and then I had that 10-year experience in retail, and that broke me out of my shell. And I was like, I'm not scared of people. Like, what was I talking about? But still putting yourself out there and showing up where you don't know anybody can be scary. But the more that I do it, the easier it gets. And it empowers me. So staying in connection and just always meeting amazing women who are high achieving and just share values and interests like I do. But then from a career perspective, like I said, I'd been coaching the last 2 years, but realized that that wasn't really lighting me up so much. I really, like, when I was getting up in the morning and thinking about my day, I was like, starting to feel that I'm not getting joy out of this anymore. Like, I need to do this in a different way or show up in a different way. And so I've rethought the whole thing. I went to Greece on this amazing retreat and got a lot of downloads there, came back, sort of lived up to what I said I was going to do. And that's like, I kept getting the nudges from the universe that said, you're not exactly shifting the way that you said you wanted to. And then one night in a yin class with my legs up the wall, I gave myself permission to make the shift. And so I'm just putting my heart and soul into honing my speaking craft and continuing to write, shifting platforms too, like less on Facebook and things like that. And I'm building a community over on Substack and just kind of like a really good refresh and not literally living online. It doesn't mean that I won't launch things online because I love teaching mindfulness and I love having mindfulness series. I do in-person workshops, I do them online, but I just don't want everything to be online. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just trusting the process and I'm just going to enjoy the journey. This morning I went, so I have a part-time job that's fun. I'm like, I'm going to look for another part-time job that's fun because I have time to make some extra money. That's always fun, right? It's not something that I'm desperate for needing. Like, I don't desperately need it, but it's something I want to do. It gets me out of the house. I went for an interview actually right before our chat this morning and they stood me up. So
Oh,
I was like, anybody that knows me knows that I talk a lot about time. It's one of my
no.
four transformative principles that I talk about in the book too. And I have a signature time management system that I teach people. So for me, time is my friend. It's one of my greatest assets. And I don't like wasting time because I lost 10 years of it to my drinking. So I have a whole new relationship with time today. So that this morning I was like, okay. And so I got home and I was like, you know what? I have extra time now to meditate, sit on my meditation pillow and get into the energy so I could show up here the way that I wanted to. I don't really hold on to stuff, but I was just kind of like, well, I didn't really need that to happen this morning, but just another example of like where I can use my mindfulness practice. I was like, well, I've got this time, so I'm going to be grateful for that instead of like pissed off that these people stood me up,
Yes, exactly. I mean, you can always kind of take that back and say, okay, maybe that was the universe's way of just kind of redirecting my attention. Maybe it
But
wasn't.
a lot of people would have just like that would have just sent them reeling. Like it's just like, natural reaction for people is to just get pissed off by something and then it sits with them all day, right? And they then they with this extra time that they just got, this recycled time, they spend it worrying on things or being angry or resentful when you could be doing mindfulness. You could be being present in your life and just taking a breather. Like you just gained, I gained an hour this morning. So what do I have to be angry about?
And through that mindfulness, it's also the letting go too, right? Letting go of the,
Yes.
okay, it didn't go the way I thought this
Exactly.
morning. I'm gonna let it go and just be present in what is. Yeah, that's beautiful. So your book, we talked about that a little bit, but you're going through a relaunch, right?
Always relaunching. Like I'll always be relaunching. And the thing is, like, so September is National Recovery Month, and a lot of my recovery story is threaded throughout the book. I don't just talk about my alcoholic recovery story. I also talk about the eating disorder, perfectionism, codependency, all of that. So a lot of self-sabotage in the book. But my alcoholism was really the biggest battle. So I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something for National Recovery Month. And so I'm doing an in-person workshop here at Naples on Sunday, where I'm actually teaching. It's like a mindfulness 101, really. It's because what I found is that the women that I have worked with, they want something that's so simple. They're not even asking for a lot, but they just want to feel happy. They want inner peace. They want to feel happy, but they just don't know how to do it. They just don't know, but they just need some tools. And so, because this is my favorite tool, I'm just going to teach a workshop on Monday. We're going to go through some three basic mindfulness practices, and I'm going to leave them with a 20-page workbook that they can use at home on their own so that they can start to develop their own routine.
That's awesome. Now, and if anyone in our audience wants to contact you, they want to talk to you about your workshop or any of the things that you're doing, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
I mean, they can email me. My email's a little long though. It's Christina at selfhealingessentials.com, or I'm on Instagram at Christina Niles, just my name, and Facebook, same thing, just my name. My company is Self Healing Essentials LLC. So my website is just that. It's just selfhealingessentials.com.
Wonderful. That's great. Christina, I really appreciate your time this morning. I think it has been so helpful for you to share with us your journey and all of the wonderful things you're doing to help others on their journey with mindfulness and finding peace and happiness. Thank you for your time. And I wish you all the best with your relaunch of your book and all the success in your endeavors.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was fun. I enjoyed
All
it.
right. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I am truly grateful that you chose to listen in, and I hope that this conversation sparked something meaningful for you. Please take a moment to subscribe, leave a review. It helps other women to find us who need to hear these stories too. And if you know someone who is ready for their own comeback, share this episode with them. I'd love to connect with you beyond the podcast. Visit me at hercomebackpodcast.com. That's hercomebackpodcast.com to learn more about how we can work together. I have a gift for you. Get your free copy today of 5 powerful shifts to reclaim your life. Remember, your comeback story is waiting to be written. The question isn't, can I transform my life? The question is, are you ready? Let's go.